I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic where which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody, and welcome to the Board Supervisor meeting, March the 5th, 2024. Time flies, doesn't it?
And it does.
Anybody have any changes to the agenda?
I have none.
I do. The first report for the sheriff's report, let's remove that. That was just carried over from last week.
Okay.
My fault.
Under E, number one, under E, okay. Police Department heads and elected officials. Sarah Dillard, County Auditor.
Good morning. Yesterday was the start of accepting paperwork for our county, nomination paperwork for our county folks who are up for reelection. So that will be from yesterday to the 22nd in the office until 5:00. So primary is beginning.
Primary is beginning. You have anybody?
I have not had any paperwork turned in yet.
Moving on. Shannon, how's emergency management doing?
Well, it was an eventful.
Sorry, I was supposed to wait for you to talk first before I bust out laughing. My bad.
Yeah, so I did, obviously, we had some storms roll through last night, the start of storm season. I did just want to clarify on the sirens. I had a lot of inquiries about why the sirens were going off. So a few years ago, so this has actually been happening for a few years, they changed the guidelines on when to activate the outdoor warning system. So first thing, I had some complaints about why they couldn't hear the sirens, and I assumed they were inside. So they are an outdoor warning system. It's a system to let you know if you're outside, you should be inside. But there's three guidelines for activating the sirens. One is, of course, a tornado. The second one is golf ball-sized hail, the potential for it, which if you get the alerts from Alert Iowa from the National Weather Service, they were predicting golf ball-sized hail. And then the third is severe thunderstorms with up to 70-mile-an-hour winds. So they changed the guidelines because of the derecho that came through a few, not here, but came through Iowa a few years ago. There was no qualifications for using the sirens for that storm. And that storm, it obviously uprooted a lot of trees and it caused a lot of damage. And so that's why we have changed the policy for that. So people were wondering why the sirens were going off. There was the potential for hail, severe thunderstorms, and the wind. So as I put on my Facebook page, which people are more than welcome to follow, you should get on Alert Iowa. It's an app on your phone. It's a great app. You can tailor it to get emails, messages, voicemails, whatever you'd like to get for any type of weather event. It's all tailorable to what you prefer. The other thing is you should follow the National Weather Service on Facebook. If you have Facebook on, they have all different social media platforms. They gave updates throughout the whole day yesterday, letting us know about the severe storms that were going to pop up. So just wanted to make that clear that that's why they were going off. I'm sure you guys got a couple of calls about it. So first storm of the season, I'm sure there'll be a few more.
Shannon, if when dispatch sets those off, if one goes off, do they all go off? Or if it, what's the geographical requirements for that?
Yeah, so the way that it works is I believe they all do go off except for Danville. They control their own, and Mediapolis can control their own. But otherwise, I believe they'll go off for Des Moines County. Yeah, I know some of the storms were in like northwestern Des Moines County, and then they were going off in Burlington, which I'm sure is confusing. But that's why I say get the alerts from Alert Iowa. It definitely helps keep you informed of what's going on.
Seems like when Gina was doing your position, the alarms didn't go off so often, so.
She did reach, Gina actually did reach out to me last night, and she said, people are reaching out to me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's all I have.
That's good. People know now. Jared Laster.
Morning. We've just been keeping busy as usual. We do have a couple of plats working our way through the system here. It's been kind of quiet over the last month or so, but I expect that's going to pick up again as the weather improves here. More surveyors getting out there to do the work. So nothing really major at this point. Just a couple likely to come through here over the next month. So that's all I have to report.
Thanks, Jared. Chris Lee.
Hi, good morning. I feel like I got to be in 10 places at the same time. So we are cranking away on the Nature Center. We are hell-bent on trying to get that done and start move in by April. So far, we're on track to make that happen, barring any unforeseen circumstances. And so working on that, and then we're also working on the Big Hollow stuff, so we've got all of our clearances there. We brought in a contractor to grow out all the stumps in the new campground area. And so the crew's up there working on that. We're hoping to, depending on what the weather does, we're hoping to be hauling rock and building roads and campsites possibly as early as next week. Tomorrow at our board meeting, we will be awarding bids for contractors to put in electrical in the campground and do all the concrete work there within the park. And all those ADA sidewalks, we got some pretty good competitive bids. And so I look forward to getting those awarded and getting cracking on that. And then spring is coming. I got a little sidetracked here at the end of last week. We had a hellacious wildfire down at the south end of county, down in the bottoms down there, along the way down at the bottom of Sullivan Slough. Burned up a couple hundred acres. I have never seen a fire like that. I didn't realize just how incredibly dry it was. And the situation we have down there, which made it incredibly difficult, one, it's one of the most remote, inaccessible areas in the county. The areas where it was are really only accessible by four-wheeler trail or boat. And the 5 or 6 years we had of continuous floods here prior to this 2 years of drought that we've been having, had just wiped out a lot of forest down there. And so we had hundreds of acres of just standing dead maple and cottonwood forest, and those trees were still standing. And grasses had grown underneath them, and the fire got out from the neighbors and just ran unchecked. And we were very worried that it was gonna burn up cabins down there at the bottom of Sullivan Slough Road. I gotta give credit to the firefighters. I don't know how many times they had to come back down there every time the wind would pick up and it would flare up, but it would kind of burn down overnight when the humidity came up and the wind laid down. That first night there on Wednesday, we cut in a dozer line. Throughout Thursday, we thought the dozer line would hold it, but trees kept flaring up and you'd have a full standing tree, and it would just, in that high wind, it would just send a spark. And I mean, I think you could have rubbed your hands together over that grass and it would have caught fire. And so I really appreciate all the fire teams that come down there. I mean, we have fire departments from all over the county and across the river coming down there and fighting that. And I mean, that's some of the hardest work you can do, because I mean, you got to put on backpacks, you're going back there in side by sides. And I mean, it was, if overnight, if you had been back there, like, it was apocalyptic. Just seeing these candles off in the distance, and we're talking a mile.
Those pictures you sent me are pretty.
I mean,
it's pretty wild.
I mean, this is the type of stuff you see out west when forests burn. And here we had it in Des Moines County. I never would have dreamed we could have had something like that. And on Thursday day, whatever it was, when that fire jumped that dozer line, I mean, it just, the emotional toll took on me, because that's where I grew up. That was my backyard. That land down there is the reason I'm in this position today. And to watch it all go up in smoke, it was just the emotional toll that has taken on me, and to know that that's heading for the cabins of, you know, my duck hunting buddies and stuff. I don't think it burned up any structures. And ecologically, maybe it's the best thing that could have happened down there. But wow. I never would have dreamed that we could have had something like that in this county. So that was an interesting few days. I think now we've gotten this rain. I just got video Somebody flew a helicopter kind of around it, and I didn't see any smoke from the video, so I think everything is out down there, and we survived that 40-mile-an-hour wind on Sunday, and nothing seemed like it flared back up, so I think that's all finally out and contained, but it's a big...
No major, minor injuries?
No, I don't think anybody sustained any injuries, and so other than maybe mental on my part, but so yeah, that was quite the thing. But other than that, we're kind of cranking away. With the forecast, it's quite likely that we may open parks a couple weeks early, so we may be even probably not next week, because it does look like we still got some freezing temperatures coming, but possibly after next week we might pull the trigger and open up Big Hollow. We're getting calls about it all the time. I know people want to camp, so but definitely April 1st is always our opening.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Yep,
appreciate that. Colin Gerst, how's IT doing?
Good morning. Just keeping busy like always. Had a pretty long week, but other than that, nothing to report.
Got a workstation after this. So.
Yep.
Good. Sheriff Lindenning, need to ask you how you're doing.
We're doing well. I think Chris said it well on the fire down there. Thanks to all the firefighters. They just did an amazing job. I think quite the experience for everybody who was involved. Our job was much more limited. We were just trying to control traffic and assist as needed. So our jail is at 93. 17 of those are out of county. Kind of the same thing week after week. A few waiting to go and a few coming in. So
how many were out of county?
17, plus 3 juveniles. So 17 adults out of county. We've got lots of other stuff going on, and plenty of meetings, and it seems like this is the time of year we have all the community meetings and wrapping up everything for the fiscal year, but nothing really a major note for the board, so all is well.
I want to thank you for being proactive on that sex offender list, too. I appreciate that.
Yeah, there will be plenty more of that to come. Yeah. We're in partnership with the U.S. Marshals on that. We deputized one of our deputies to the U.S. Marshals Task Force. That opened up a lot of paths for us to not just financial resources, but their partnership and them coming down here to assist with that. That's kind of their major forte on the federal level. So that and fugitives. So we have some planned operations with them in the coming months, and we look forward to it.
Thank you. Rodney, how's the maintenance going?
Doing okay. Nothing new to report today.
Okay. Mr. Carter, secondary roads.
Good morning. Plenty of stuff going on. It's kind of a lot of things firing up all in one week for us. But the contractor on our small bridge in the bottoms, it's on a little dead end road. They're going to start grabbing piling here, maybe even today. We're delivering it as we speak. So we'll see what that progress goes like. It shouldn't take all that long for their work to get done. The contract rock haul is starting up today. The southern end of the county, that out of that quarry, that started actually this morning about 7:30. So I expect that will only take maybe a couple days, maybe 2.5 at the most. And that side of everything will be done. And then I would expect our northern haul to start up late this week or sometime next. They're still lining up trucks for that haul. So that rock haul's coming, and that's a good thing. It's not always an opportunity you get in March necessarily, so get that all on the roads for the main roads. I would mention this is not something that is our project, but it does involve a couple county roads. We received an email, not even from Burlington Northern, we received it from the traffic control contractor for Burlington Northern yesterday, I want to say, or it was late Friday, that they have a couple crossings on the south end of the county that they're planning on working on, and their intention was a 2 to 3 day full closure. I say this because, ironically, tying with what Chris said, one of them is on Sullivan Slough, and the other is on Spring Lake Road. Both those roads have folks that live on the other side of them permanently. And this is not the first time I've had this conversation with Burlington Northern. I guess it's probably not going to be the last, but I reached out to and spoke to the roadmaster for that area yesterday morning, and said that you know, I understand you need to do work on the crossings, but there's permanent residents on the other side. There's been active emergency response on one of these. Of course, that was before all the rain, so I said I used that as another reason for not being able to fully close it. And he was supposed to get back to me around 8 this morning and let me know what their alternative approach was going to be. I said, well, you can do the work. You just need to try to have a path for people to get in and out that actually live there, if at all possible. I don't know where that's going. And again, it's the problem is it's Burlington. It's a railroad, and they could up and close it for 2 to 3 days. We don't have any say in the railroad. They are pretty much all powerful. So I say all this because we're planning on doing a press release when I know more. My guess is both those, if they decide to go ahead and do the work, will be closed to the general public as a whole, and hopefully they can keep the locals through. So time will tell. We'll do a press release when we know more, and I guess maybe they'll reassess and back off too as far as timing until they can figure something out. But anyway, want to mention that. And then I know it's gotten plenty of press, and I'm not going to give a whole lot on it because I think it's been in the newspaper plenty, but of course Bridgeport, the bridge there, the old bridge we'll call it, is sometimes an hour by hour topic in my world, but certainly a day by day topic. We've been talking to some contractors, we've been working through the permit process, I don't, as we sit here right now, I don't have a 100% course of action to report to you, but I'll keep you guys up to date as we know more. I think we're talking to some landowners as far as the access side of things. I think that's going to work out okay. That's something that the Lee County engineer and I are communicating on regularly. We talked yesterday morning, and I think we talked multiple times each day last week. So that's certainly something we're working on. It is to a point where there's really no choice but some version of demolition. Unfortunately, there's a lot of folks down there that are disappointed because it's got a long history down there, and I can understand that. It's a pretty neat old bridge, but it has reached a point of failure now. So, other than that, there's a lot of other stuff going on, but I won't get into that. That's all behind the scenes.
Thanks, Brian. Yep. Did I miss anybody? Okay. I have no correspondence here. Do you have any, Shane?
I have none
either. So we shall move on to discussion and vote. We have account payable claims for $1,109,583.41.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes. Okay, we have payroll claims reimbursement. For $384.59 and non-cash taxable $11.14.
Motion to approve.
Second. Sarah?
Shannon McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes. Okay. Now we have a Class C liquor license for Fat Annie's Tap in Augusta. Kevin, do you have any problems with that?
No issues with that liquor license.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Second. Sarah Doty?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes. If you guys hadn't talked so long, we'd have had a short meeting today.
I blame Chris.
Us guys? I'm sure that it was everybody.
Chris isn't here. I definitely blame Chris.
Yeah, don't blame me.
Well, we have a personnel action. We have one for the county attorney, and we'll do it. And then we got six of them for the correctional center. We'll read all of them and do them all at once.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay. We have Danielle Cassidy. She's a records legal assistant. It's a 6-month probationary step increase. to $36,880.09.
Motion to approve.
Second. Sarah?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Now for the correctional center, we have Andrew Brown, correctional officer, 6 months increase for his anniversary from $44,842 to $45,998.45. Then we have Angela Corey, correctional officer, anniversary for 18 month increase from $47,160.80 to $48,204.09. All these are effective March 2nd and 3rd. Then we have Owen Stewart, correctional officer, anniversary 6 month increase from $44,842 to $45,998.45, effective March 13th. Then we have Brandon T, correctional officer, anniversary 6 month increase from $44,842 to $45,998.45. Then we have Sierra, Sierra Kelly, correctional officer, anniversary 1 year increase from $45,998.45 to $47,160.80. Then we have Cody Reynolds, correctional officer, anniversary 36 months increase. Previous rate $49,152.45. New rate is $50,119.72. And that goes back to January 19th.
I motion to approve all six.
Second. Sarah Doty?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Anticipate any problems, but they just want to be kind of like what you're going to show, being proactive on it. So that was a big thing. That was a big discussion.
I want to say when they came through several years ago that the same situation happened.
Yes.
It did.
It was.
Yeah. The fortunate part is it's not an overnight in our county.
Yeah.
Which it was in 2019.
Yeah.
So if that's
saving grace, I think, for us.
We had a meeting on, I can't remember anyways, but it was last week, and we're working on right now. I'm on that advisory board on the route that they're coming in, so.
You're right, Shannon, it's not overnight. Last time it was.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, time for public input. Anybody from the public have anything to say? Not yet, huh? Okay. We'll give you 2 minutes to call in at 319-753-8203, extension 4. Again, that's 319-753-8203, extension 4, and we'll give you 2 minutes for that. Shane, we're on the
clock. Clock ticking.
So, anybody here have anything to say?
I'll mention a bit more on the Bridgeport Bridge. We have received a couple of our needed environmental permits. I think we have pretty much what we need permit-wise. None of these agencies want to see this thing fail and fall into the river in kind of an uncontrolled fashion, and possibly, you know, for an extended period of time. So I just want to mention, I think you guys know this, but it is a very high priority for us to make progress. And I say that because at any given time, you could be getting a call from me and saying we're moving forward, and there could be a contractor starting work. So, as this is not something like a regular project where I'm going to show up with bid documents and contracts and it's going to take a month and all this sort of stuff. It's going to move at light speed, whatever you want to call it. I would love for it if we could possibly have somebody working even maybe next week. One of the environmental permits wanted some of the work done by April 1st, and depending on the weather, I don't know if we can comply with that, but we have to as best we can. So I just so you know, I mean, we're making a lot of headway. I think I've sent you guys pictures so you know what it looks like. So that's what's going on.
Well, we can send them Indiana Bats back to Indiana.
Well, thank
and
you.
We wouldn't have to worry about the environment.
Indiana Bats can move right upstream and use the other bridge.
Yeah.
So, if in fact they like this bridge, I guess I don't know. I haven't talked to them. Yeah. So,
you have to check and see the amount of bad guano. That'll tell you how much they like it.
It all washed downstream.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay, the 2 minutes are up. So, with an aye, we're out of here.
Aye.
Thank you, everybody. We're going to have